Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And today I'll be preaching from the book of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm working my way through chapter 1 and chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians concerning the subject of the power and wisdom of God. Now, it's clear that the Apostle Paul, who was inspired to write this letter, this first letter to the church at Corinth, where he had been to preach the gospel, and the Lord established a church there, probably a very wealthy, a very big church, which is very uncommon even in that day. But it's clear here that Paul is reminding the church at Corinth of what the gospel, the true gospel, and what salvation is really all about. This was a church that had many problems, and he deals with them in 1 Corinthians 1 and 1 Corinthians. There's two letters in the New Testament. Many people believe there was a third letter that came in between these, and that could have been, but it certainly wasn't. It was something that maybe have made a transition there. But they had a lot of problems, and one of their problems was that they were dividing over men, over preachers. And the Apostle Paul tells them, look, the gospel message, the gospel ministry, and salvation itself is not about men and women. In other words, it doesn't center around, it's about the salvation of men and women. But the power of it and the wisdom of it is in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His glorious person who Jesus Christ is. He is God manifest in the flesh. And there's nobody like Him. There's nobody that stands on His level. He is God, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, who has no beginning and no end, and yet He came to earth and united Himself with sinless human nature, human body and soul. And so He worked as God-man. This is what He had to do in order to save His people from their sins. He was set up before the foundation of the world to be the surety of His people. That means the debt of their sins was charged to Him. He became accountable, responsible for that debt. And in order to pay that debt, He had to substitute Himself in the place of His people as God in human flesh, God-man. He had to die on the cross, be buried and arose and raised again the third day to pay that redemption price. He's the surety, the substitute, the redeemer of His people. And there's the power and the wisdom of God. That's what Paul's saying here. The preaching of the cross, the preaching of the glorious person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherein He secured the salvation of all for whom He died. Well, that message of the cross, that message of God's grace, that message of the person and work of Christ is the wisdom of God. It's not the wisdom of men. Whenever men and women, the natural man, over in 1 Corinthians 2:14, he talks about the natural man. And that's referring to man as we are mankind, as we fell in Adam, and as we are born dead in trespasses and sins. And basically, what he's saying here, as far as salvation and a right relationship with God, man does not have the capacity or the ability or the knowledge to figure that out. And so that all that man comes up with in his human religion, in his philosophy, in his perspective in the world is foolishness to God. Now, man considers God's wisdom to be foolishness. It's foolishness to the natural man that one person could die on the cross and save a multitude of sinners by that death. But that's the wisdom of God. And so he says in verse 21, I dealt with this last week, but we'll start there. He says in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom," that is human wisdom, "knew not God." Whenever, you see, the knowledge of God is a revelation from God to His people. It's not man figuring out who God is. It's not man reasoning from the ground up. It's God intervening, actually invading our minds with His truth as it is in His Word, and mainly as He leads His people to see His glory in Christ. And here's the point. If you don't know Christ in the glory of His person and in the power of His finished work, you don't know God. Christ said in John 17, I believe it's verse 4, He said, "This is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent." You see, the knowledge of God, you know, he told His disciples, "If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father." What He's talking about, there's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. It is through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He accomplished on the cross, that we see a knowledge of God that brings us to salvation. Because in the cross, we see how God can be both a just God and a Savior. We see how God saves sinners by His grace through the blood, or the righteousness, that's the cross, the righteousness of Christ. And that was God's plan. That was God's purpose. That's God's wisdom and power. So after that, verse 21, "In the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." But how does God reveal His wisdom and power to His people? "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now the preaching up there is the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the cross of Christ. It's not just preaching morality. Now, we do preach morality. We should be moral. But that's not the preaching that brings a sinner to know God in salvation. Now, what is the gospel? What is the preaching of the cross? Well, look on. He says in verse 22, now, when he calls it the foolishness of preaching, understand that's the right word order. It's not talking about preaching foolishness. You know, there's so many preachers today who claim to be Christian and they preach utter foolishness. Now, God's preachers do not preach foolishness, but when we preach the truth, the natural man will see it as foolish. You know, back up in verse 18, he said, "The preaching of the cross to them that for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it's the power of God." And later on he says the wisdom of, so the power and the wisdom of God. So he says, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them." Preaching what? Preaching the gospel. Preaching the cross. Preaching Christ. Paul says that over in verse 2 of chapter 2, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now it's in Jesus Christ and Him crucified that we see the power and the wisdom of God. So what is the gospel? Well, as I said, it's the preaching of the glorious person of Christ and the preaching of the finished work of Christ. Christ crucified, raised from the dead. And the Bible calls that the preaching of righteousness. That message is summarized in the term the righteousness of God. And I just think about Romans 1, 16 and 17. I quote that very often on this program. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, everyone whom God gives faith to believe it, to the Jew first and to the Greek also. In other words, there's no physical, national, ethnic barriers here. You know, anyone whom God brings to faith in Christ, to depend upon His finished work, His blood, His righteousness, the gospel has been made the power of God unto them by the power of the Spirit. And he says in verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So what is he talking about? The righteousness of God. I've got a book that's coming out soon on this called "What is the Righteousness of God?" The righteousness of God is the merit, the value, the worth of what Christ alone accomplished in His obedience unto death to save His people from their sins. What He did is He died under the penalty of the law based on the sins of His people. God's elect, imputed, charged, accounted to Him. He was punished. The Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Who are the all there? It's not all without exception now. It's all of His people. All whom the Father gave Him before the foundation of the world. And He went under the sentence of death and hell, suffered the wrath of God on that cross, the equivalent of hell, eternal damnation. And that's because of who He is, God in human flesh. And He suffered and died, was buried, and arose again. And what He did in that transaction, what He did in His work, was bring in an everlasting righteousness that enables God to be both a just God and show mercy to His people, show grace and love to His people. Now, He came to do this work because God loved His people, because God was gracious to His people, not to get God to love them or to get God to be gracious. No, this was all part of the plan all along. What is righteousness? It's perfect satisfaction to the justice of God. And the righteousness of God, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ worked out on that cross, is imputed, charged, accounted to every one of His people. And that means they're justified. They're not guilty. God will not lay anything to their charge. Romans 8:33, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, is risen again and is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us." So that's the preaching that he talks about here. By the foolishness of preaching, verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 1. Now, why won't the natural man receive that message? You see, what he's teaching here is that man by nature, as we are now, we will not receive that. We will not believe it. It takes a sovereign work of God to bring us to believe His Word. And if you truly do believe His Word, it's not because you rose above the mass of humanity and were less rebellious or less stubborn. No, it wasn't because you made a free will decision. No. Christ said it in John 6:44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up again at the last day." This is the one to whom God, those who believe Him, those who, and you know, we've seen that, you know, in the new birth. You know, look back at John chapter 1, and I've read this so many times in John 1 and verse 11. He says, "Christ came unto His own, and His own received Him not." Now, some commentators say that's His own nation, because the Jewish nation, as a whole, not all without exception, but as a whole, they rejected Him. But you know, everyone by nature rejects Him, and He says in verse 12 of John 1, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Now that word power there is not the same word power over here in 1 Corinthians 1, the power and wisdom of God. Power there means the right or the privilege. what he's saying is here, what right do I have to be called a child of God? I'm a sinner, and sinners deserve damnation. What right do I have? What gives me that privilege to be called a son of God, a child of God? Well, here's the evidence. Have you received Christ? Not just given your heart to Jesus. I'm saying, have you received the Christ of the Bible? That's why I tell people to examine yourself. If you claim to be a Christian, you need to examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Whether you be in the faith, are you really looking to Christ as he is identified and distinguished in this book? Do you believe in the Christ of the Bible? Because there are counterfeits, folks. Many counterfeits. Deceptive. Christ said in the last days, which we're living in them, he said, many will come so close that if it were possible, they could deceive the very elect. So you need to get into the book of books. Now, the books that I've written, I call it my self-examination series. They are to be companions and guides through the book of books. You see, my books are not even on the level of God's inspired word. No book is. No book written by him. But I wrote them so that people could study the word. What I wanted people to do is to take my books and use them just like you would use a sermon. Check it out with the Word of God. Is this what the Word of God says? But look back at John chapter 1 here. He says, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power or right or privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. His name identifies him and distinguishes him from all counterfeits. But look at verse 13. Those who received him are those which were born, not of blood. In other words, this is not a physical birth. Salvation, faith, repentance does not come by virtue of a bloodline or a pedigree. You know, that the Jews said we'd be Abraham's children. Therefore, they thought that meant that they were children of God. Not so. It's not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Now, I believe that's referring to the works of the flesh. It's not by works. Works that you do will not bring you to receive Christ. And then he says, nor of the will of man. Now that's the decision, the desire of man. You see, man left to himself will not desire the truth in this area. But he says, those who receive him are those which were born of God, verse 13. That's the new birth. So back over here in 1 Corinthians 1, this is what he's talking about. Now, why won't sinners, by nature, receive him? Well, look at verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 1. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, the Jews, Paul used the Jews to represent the highest points of human religion without God. And they're looking for signs. Lord, give me a sign. I'll see a lot of times you'll be watching a movie and somebody gets desperate and they'll say, Lord, just show me a sign. You know, the Lord said this. He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. You don't need a sign. You know what you need? You need the Word of God. God's Word is enough. I don't need to see, they say the face of Jesus in the clouds, which is not Jesus anyway, because nobody knows what he looked like. It's not even being healed physically. I know a man who was desperately in the throes of a deadly illness, cancer, and he was cured. Now he went to the doctors and he took treatments, and he said, "Now this is a testimony to the power of prayer." Oh, my friend. It's not a testimony to the power of prayer. If I'm saved, it's not a testimony to my decision or my praying or your praying. It's a testimony to the power of God. You say, well, you're just splitting hairs. Well, okay. You know, you can think like that if you want. But I'm telling you, get into the Word of God. The Jews required a sign. They were looking for a sign from heaven. They had the Word of God. They had Moses and the prophets. But they didn't believe them. Christ told him in John chapter 5, he says, you claim to be the children of Moses and that your keeping of the law of Moses is your salvation. He said, Moses is the very one who'll condemn you because you don't keep the law. You're a sinner. You need a righteousness you cannot produce. So the Jews, they're looking for a sign. What are religious people looking for today? Emotions, feelings, all of that. Sign. He says, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now the Greek there is a way of referring to all Gentiles because it was a Greek or a Hellenistic world back then. Came down from Alexander the Great and all that he conquered, even the Roman world. And so it's Gentile. But they're looking for wisdom. They're looking for human wisdom. And human wisdom will not get you there. But look at verse 23. Now this is the key. But we preach Christ crucified. Now unto the Jews, that's a stumbling block. It's like a trap. In other words, here's a Jew who's going about trying to establish a righteousness of his own by his works. And here comes a gospel preacher and tells him, now look, all of your works, all of your attempts fall short. It's iniquity. You need the righteousness of God. You need the righteousness of another to be right with God. You need His blood to cleanse you from all your sins. You need His righteousness to justify you and to give you life. And they stumble over it. Why? Because they're attached to their self-righteous works or their self-righteous experiences. I've had people who tell me they do not believe this gospel that I preach. And they say, but I know I was saved because when I was 12, I went through this, through that. You see, the gospel, you're stumbling over the preaching of Christ crucified. What you need to do is embrace Christ and put all that stuff on the dung heap of false religion where it belongs, in repentance. And he says, unto the Jews, a stumble, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. It's foolishness to the Gentiles. They're looking for human wisdom, human morality, humanism, the betterment of man, instead of salvation for sinners by God's free grace in Christ. But look at verse 24. He says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Think about it. Who are the called? In the Bible, there's two callings. There's a general call that goes out in different forms that man by nature will always reject. There's the call of nature. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament His handiwork. There's the call of conscience. There's the call of the gospel, which if left unto man by nature, he'll always reject. Think of Stephen preaching in Jerusalem and they stoned him. But then there's the effectual, powerful, invincible calling of the Holy Spirit who takes that gospel and makes it the power of God unto salvation. And what does he do? He brings a sinner under the preaching of the gospel and he imparts life from Christ, spiritual life. He gives that sinner eyes to see, ears to hear, a new heart, the Bible calls it, a new mind, new spirit. And he brings that sinner to see his utter sinfulness and depravity, his utter inability to produce that which God requires, and to see that if God were to judge him based upon what he can accomplish at his best, it would be damnation in hell. And he brings that sinner to see that his only hope is Christ crucified and risen from the dead. That's my only hope. He's my only hope. God can be just and right and true and save a sinner like me based upon the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed to me. And the Holy Spirit brings me to receive Him by faith and to repent of my dead works. My friend, what I'm telling you is all your efforts to be good, all your efforts to make yourself righteousness, they are no good. It's only Christ crucified and raised from the dead. And that's the power and the wisdom of God. You see, if the Bible tells us we are not saved by works, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. The faith is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then it goes on in verse 10 to say, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And then it's all about the creation of the church, the new creature. The church is the new creation, and then it's made up of new creatures or new creations. That's in Christ. It's by Christ. All right. So we're his workmanship, not our own. We're not self-made men. His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not because of good works. Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now that's what the Bible teaches. That's what the gospel teaches. That's the great salvation that God has freely provided for his people. How do you know if you're one of his people? How do you know if God chose you before the foundation of the world? How do you know if Christ died for you on that cross? How do you know if you're a recipient of this invincible, powerful, irresistible calling? How do you know? Do you receive Christ and him crucified and raised from the dead? Do you submit to his righteousness alone as your only ground of attaining and maintaining salvation? Or are you looking to self in some way? Are you looking for a sign? Are you looking for human wisdom, opinions? You know how people get together on Sunday morning sometimes in a Sunday school class and they say, read a verse, say, now what do you think about that? Well, who cares what you think about it? What does God mean by it? That's the issue. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.